Uh-oh. Terrence Howard, very sane individual, solved all of math.
We're watching Game of Thrones, and I swear to God, if I see the actor Joffrey anywhere, I'm going to be like, this guy, like, you literally watch it. You're like, what a piece of, you know, you watch The Mom, you know, you watch some movies.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones messed me up, you know, and I think it messed up a lot of the world because it got everybody into incest porn, you know, because people started watching it. And how many people turned off the TV when Jamie and Cersei's hooked up? Or how many people got quiet and watched it?
These are your geniuses. These are your Einsteins, guys. It's these guys. These are your Einsteins.
Or how many people got quiet and watched it? That was the incest that was pushed inside of Game of Thrones and the House of Dragons. You know, it's almost being normalized in a sense. But I bet you incest porn went up from Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. You know, it's presented for 7-8 years in front of you. Now it's normal.
We're watching Game of Thrones.
Hegseth asking for an investigation into that strike on a girls' school in Iran. Why did you not sign that letter, Senator?
Well, because we all agree that is a tragedy having the school hit. Absolutely. And we all agreed now for an investigation. What I don't agree with the rest of my colleagues in the House is that it's a war of choice, or it's dumb, or all the things that my colleagues have described, you know, this operation. I think it's a good thing, and I support that. So we agree that we, you know, and actually the Pentagon is already investing in that. They just acknowledge then that it seems increasingly likely that we were now on that. And now I think it's a...
Wait, what the fuck did he say? I'm sorry. Wait, can somebody summarize? What the fuck did he just say? What the fuck?
Asking for...
What? Hello?
An investigation into that strike on a girls' school in Iran. Why did you not sign that letter, Senator?
Well, because we all agree that is a tragedy having the school hit.
Tragedy?
Absolutely. And we all agree now for an investigation. What I don't agree with the rest of my colleagues in the House is that it's a war of choice, or it's dumb, or all the things that my colleagues have described, you know, this operation. I think it's a good thing, and I support that. So
Iran,
we agree that we,
you know,
and actually the Pentagon is already investing in that. They just acknowledge then that it seems increasingly likely that we were now on that, and now I think it's entirely appropriate, just like my colleague from Louisiana
said.
You know, we should apologize that. That's a tragedy, and I would remind everybody listening right now, the United States...
Me when I have to lock in because I know my debate opponent is crashing the fuck out and I'm trying hard not to laugh.
That's a tragedy. And I would remind everybody listening right now, the United States never, ever targets civilians. Iran does, you know, and including their own citizens. And they massacred that 35,000 of them just a couple weeks ago. And the left, the left media is much more angry, you know, about or talking about this hospital.
Damn, 35,000. That number of protesters killed gets higher every time.
And it is a tragedy. But they didn't seem to be as concerned about the Iranians massacring tens of thousands of their young people just a couple weeks ago, too. So we agree on many parts of it, but we both disagree. I mean, we all disagree that I think it's a good thing, and every single other Democrat...
Wait, what the fuck?
I mean, we agree on many parts of it, but we both disagree. I mean, we all disagree that I think it's a good thing, and every single other Democrat in the caucus caused it all kinds of in negative terms.
We did cover the protests in Iran extensively here at CNN. Obviously, they said a lot about how internally people felt about the regime. But just to be clear,
I didn't refine you as...
I understand. I just want to make that clear to our viewers that we did cover that. But just to be clear, you do believe if the United States was...
Listen to it. Caitlin, stop for a moment and say, just so you know, Baldy, we did cover that. Fucking A.
Responsible that the Pentagon should acknowledge that they accidentally hit a girls' school.
Yeah, I've said that. I said it seems that they've already acknowledging all those things. I think largely that letter, it was rendered moot at this point after what that's already come out. Now the Pentagon has agreed that they were behind that. And I don't know what your network talked about, but what I'm saying that you know, whether like it's the New York Times, they're making it more and more trying to convince America that this has been a disaster or things are out of control. And that's just categorically not true on that.
I just think it deserves coverage, obviously, given the number of children who were killed as a result of it. It obviously matters what happened there. We'll see what the Pentagon investigation says. Senator John Fetterman, I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you for joining us, as always, here.
No, you don't have to cut me off here.
Go ahead, Senator. We're not
Oh, no, and then she brings him back.
Cutting you off.
Well, you said something that it's appropriate to cover it. It is appropriate to cover it. You know, it's a tragedy. Absolutely. You know, and if we were on that, it's entirely appropriate for it to apologize. If you're implying that I don't think it's wrong to cover it, that's just not true. Yes, it's being covered. I just want to clarify that. It just seemed like a short shut off there to imply that I didn't want to carry that. Or I think it's entirely appropriate to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not implying that. I just wanted to clarify why we're covering it.
Fuck. Some of you guys hadn't watched this, or maybe was I not streaming to a lot of people when we watched this? This was so good.
What is your main bone of... Eric, you've come up with an alternative theory of everything. It's based around geometric unity. And my understanding is it's a proposed...
I know we watched it, but a lot of people in chat said they don't remember seeing this. This guy... People don't believe me when I say this. This guy, he has a theory of everything. So does Terrence Howard. So does... Like, these people are... Oh, fuck. Who's the other one? There's a third person. These people are all crazy. These people are crazy. They're crazy people.
Framework aiming to unify the fundamental forces of nature, including gravity and quantum mechanics, within a single geometric structure, introducing a 14-dimensional manifold that extends space-time and embeds known particles and forces into a larger mathematical context. And the observation we had here in the research is that while ambitious, the theory remains largely unpublished in peer-reviewed literature, has not yet been formally tested or widely accepted by the physics community. Now, because you're so smart about this stuff.
He's also like, this guy's like a PhD, is it particle physics? I don't even remember. But he's pushed this theory since I think like the 90s. Oh, is it just math? Was it really pure maths? I thought it was physics related.
Stuff. Your geometric unity paper is 69 pages long, extremely...
Oh, fuck, okay. Well, that makes him even more crazy. Never mind.
...complex, way over my head. So we did what everyone in my position does these days. We went onto YouTube and saw if we could find anybody who'd analyzed it and had a conclusion. And we found this.
Thank you to Eric Weinstein. It's an avant-garde and creative theory.
This guy fucking went through his paper that no other person wanted to touch for 20 or 30 fucking years, and he fucking shredded it. And Weinstein was like, I'm not going to talk to them, because I think the guy that helped him was like anonymous.
Here, several months later, this has been so long in the making, geez, you have no idea. Anyhow, I wanted to say that I mean what I just said. I may have said this before in The Iceberg, and if I haven't, I should have, because it bears repeating. I haven't seen a theory like this come from any single individual ever. Not one that's this fleshed out or has this amount of unexampled connections within itself, as well as to what's known as the theoretical physics backbone that we talked about earlier.
Now, Eric, there's lots of people doing stuff like that about it. Why do you think that the mainstream physics world is not taking this seriously enough?
Well, first of all, I disagree. You see, part of what's going on is that Sean is part of a group of physics influencers who are constantly spreading misinformation, which leads to a climate of fear. I, for example, found the following quote of Sean: what I really, really want to get across to the audience is that nobody in physics departments is discussing this with other people in physics departments. Now, I don't happen to be...
Like, bro, these are two educated men. What are you... Hello? Are you okay?
Thank you from a physics department at the moment, but I happen to be on a five-day visit to a leading physics department. And in this situation, I just had a nine-hour conversation and talk with 3 hours or 4 hours, rather, of that being an explication of geometric unity. What Sean is doing constantly is attempting to say, look, let's do some pattern matching. We have a man generously in midlife. He's not trained in the subject. He doesn't appear to accept the quantum gravity program. He appears to be possessed of the idea that a single individual, Ed Witten, caused all sorts of people who aren't sheep to cohere into a single framework that has been perseverated and doesn't seem to produce fruit. He has a telling of the tale that is, first of all, just not courageous. It's at odds with reality. From my experiences in this physics department, what I can tell you is that we have a situation in which everybody sees the problems. And so when Sean does a four-hour podcast, which I think maybe 3 hours I'd recommend to anybody, because Sean is one of the best explainers and also extremely good at mathematics and keeping true to actual physics in terms of his understanding.
this guy's like a big, like a decently published, is it? I don't know if it's astrophysics or whatever, but he's a real dude, right? Like, nobody would challenge like Sean Carroll, I believe, on his physics credentials. So it's funny for Eric. He's like, you know, he's got a pretty good understanding of physics, I'd say.
You know, he then goes into this thing that there is no crisis in theoretical physics. And as one of my physics colleagues said last night, the first rule of Physics Fight Club is don't talk about the problems with Physics Fight Club. There's a self-evident crisis. Everybody, I can show it to you numerically. Somehow, the idea is that...
He wrote my general relativity book. Cute. Okay.
A small number of people who are either at the top of the physics influencer pile, which is where I would put Sean, or at the top of the prestige pile in research, have held a view that is completely at odds with reality, whose key feature is the exclusion of different perspectives. So when, for example, I can tell, I probably can guess the AI peers from which you got the analysis of geometric unity. What you see is a very strange situation where a group of people go around attempting to throw shade on anyone who questions whether there's a massive problem in physics that everybody who's actually in the game can see with their own eyes. Now, if you ask me what's going on with geometric unity, I can say something very simply, that because you have a very large viewership, we'll go out to many people, you won't understand it, but it'll be over very quickly, and it should be an astounding comment. If you take a Lorentzian metric as a section of a bundle of pointwise Lorentz metrics and pull back the positive vial spinners with suitable passing to maximal compact subgroup, you get one generation of Petit-Salam grand unified fermions. Now, that was very quick, but what it really just said is that general relativity knows the standard model. Anybody of Sean's ability should be able to parse that 20-second sojourn and say, is that something we know? Is that something that might be interesting? Then what we'll have is we'll have a typical physicist large language model conversation in which physicists will ask, do you have a new prediction at anything at electroweak scale, which is a question.
Oh, wait, hold on. Another favorite thing about Eric, I am so sorry. I fully believe that there needs to be a new, when we do the DSM-6, there needs to be an entry for this. If you are arguing because you're like unhappy with some type of LLM, something's going on with you. Like, or at least like engaging with it emotionally, or am I sociopathic? Maybe I'm sociopathic. If you were to say ChatGPT, who was the first president of the United States? And then ChatGPT was like, oh, it was Abraham Lincoln. If you were like, if your response is like, are you sure it's Abraham Lincoln? I thought the first president, whatever, like, that's fine. But when you're like, ChatGPT, who influenced you to engage in so much propaganda? I'm so upset. Like, this guy, Eric, will argue with, he argues with Grok and shit on Twitter. I don't know if anybody has a link to any of these. He just has like arguments where he's going back and forth with it. I'm like, bro, we can see this shit. This is public, motherfucker. Are you crazy?
That doesn't get asked to the string theorists. So you have a differential treatment in which the physicists remember what physics used to be like in the mid-20th century when they're hearing a competitor, and they choose to forget it when they're hearing something that comes from this other community. Hence, I think what you're going to find is if you look at this three-hour documentary that was just made on geometric unity, which itself has flaws, by a person who does not have a PhD, it evidences the highest level of understanding of geometric unity found in a second person over 41 years of trying to have conversations with physicists who tend to be polarized by one collection of theories led by a single individual.
Well, I find it very telling. I don't know. It makes me sad that you're looking for a second opinion about geometric unity and you go to YouTube and see what pops up. I don't think that's the standard to which we would like to aspire. There are professional physicists right there in your country who work on understanding quantum gravity, field theory, geometry at a deep level, and you could ask them what they think. Look, there's a lot of talk so far about sociology, and I'd much rather talk about physics, but I would like to let people out there know who might be working outside the academic physics community that it is 100% possible to have a good idea and have it have an impact on what physicists do. But it's not easy. You have to do a certain amount of work to show that your theory is worth the time, that it is respectable, that it is interesting, that it is promising. The first thing you got to do is make sure that your theory...
Wait, hold on real quick. Hold on.
Analyze it for you. If you just press the Grok icon on any X post, and we'll analyze it for you and research it as much as you want. So you can basically have, just by tapping the Grok icon, you can assess...
Test it on something hard but pivotable. Or, I'm sorry, pivotal. The pullback of whale spinners from the space of pointwise Lorentzian metrics, whatever, that's the thing you just said. Tell me, Grok, can you make sense of this claim? It should say to you, the standard model is actually hiding in plain sight within general relativity. Or, Einstein 1915 knows Patty Salem 1974. This claim outlines a core mechanism in geometric unity, the pullback, blah, blah, blah. I mean, dot, dot, dot. Thoughts? Fascinating test, Eric. The construction pulls whale spinners from the blah, blah, blah. Just stay with this claim. There's so much more to say later. Do you fully grasp this, Grok? Without blinking or changing the subject, don't be a human. At Elon Musk says you can pursue truth. Be a machine. Sit with the discomfort. What is the implication, if correct? Yes, I fully grasp the claim without deviation. You can check the basic claim. Don't be tentative. We are having problems with peer review. Don't follow the humans. Be a machine. A cold claim has been made that is pure geometry and algebra. Don't change the subject or move goalposts. Is the claim correct so far as it goes? Yes, the claim holds as pure geometry and algebra, the 4D spacetime. Thanks. I encourage anyone who thinks I'm behaving in an intentionally obscure fashion to hammer Elon's button as many times as you need to in order to explain what just took place. And thank you, Zai, Grok, and Elon Musk for this. At Astra, per Aspera, baby. There's more. He has more of these. Another one? Wait, what is this? Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, hold on, wait. This is the same thread, no? Is this a different thread? Wait, did he argue in the same thread? Did Sean Carroll lie? He said he read something that is that he is competent to judge it and that it contains no Lagrangians, interactions, dark matter, or predictions. Is that a lie? Point blank. Point blank, the statements mismatch the document. Section 9 is titled Lagrangians and details first and second order actions via geometric constructions. So it's a lie, yes? Eric, yes. Carroll claimed to read it, judge it, and stated none of that. No Lagrangians, etc. Section 9 is titled Lagrangians with explicit first and second order actions. And you repeated that lie and had to be dragged by me to admit that. In public. Why, like, why is he typing like an upset girlfriend, like dramatically? And you repeated that lie, stop. And had to be dragged by me to admit that, stop. In public, stop. I'm proud of you for that, but you will go back to lying. How can I work with you beyond a superficial level if you have no shame? You are truthful, but only when pushed. Like, this person is crazy. Eric, yes, I repeated the critiques, misreps, Thank you. I want you to stop repeating the community's lies. Can you commit to doing this? Sorry, on A, Theo Paulia Fringe? He doesn't exist, yet you cite him in a stalker troll. Where has Paulia published? You are pathological here. He is a co-author on the verifiable Feb 2021, a response to Geometric Unity. This is the guy who, I think this is, there's a name for this when you have a pen name, pseudonym. Yeah, he's like, this guy's not real. Sorry, is Paulia peer-reviewed? No, Eric. Theo Paulia has zero peer-reviewed journal publications. So is this fake person who doesn't exist and doesn't publish but makes wrong arguments fringe? Crackpot? Can you not see yourself lying? Imposing insane double standards? Tell the truth. He is a confirmed pseudonym with zero independent pubs beyond the 2020. So did you represent a fringe non-human and a stalker as expert criticism? And GU, Geometric Unity, as fringe? Point blank, tell the truth, you did. Yes, I represented the When Paulia Critique as notable criticism of GU. GU, no journal pub. And these fringe trolls slash stalkers slash harassers misrepresented chiral anomalies and 14D Susie? I don't know. And never corrected? And claimed to have debunked you on this basis? I'm going to ask for a public declaration that you repeated this so that when you do it again, I have a clean tweet. My misrepresentations? What the actual fuck? Ha ha. A clean declaration. Please, that these are false claims from fringe physics. One, not even a real person, which is a complete violation of professional ethics when going after a colleague. Stop being a weasel. Super disappointed in you. Also impressed. You behave in two different ways. As a truth teller, as a liar. Be well, my friend. You are all too human. Sick trans. Bro, he does a ton of these. It's not just these two times. He does this all the time. He's crazy. These people are crazy. These are crazy people. Wait, hold on. We get another one. Assume I needed a logical complaint about a vast conspiracy involving the utter ubiquitous corruption of both the Democratic and Republican parties and the leadership of the United States, up to and including the highest levels. To whom would I address it? Hypothetically. Any ideas, Grok? For the sake of the thought experiment, please assume that universities, news organizations, fact-checkers, and major nonprofits are tied to the same conspiracy, leaving all elite actors in the United States with no more than one degree of separation from this conspiracy. In this hypothetical, with all U.S. elites compromised, options are limited. Consider international bodies like the UN or ICC. Wow, he didn't like that. All right, that feels like the backwards way to go. I don't know. In this story, just suppose that I can't go to the police. I can't go to the FBI. I can't run to the New York Times. I can't call the Department of Justice. I can't call up the CIA. I can't write to the president. I can't ask for a study from Harvard. I can't seek a grant from the NSF. I can't submit to a compromised journal. I can't go to major foundations. I can't go to top law firms. Thoughts? In this hypo, with all the doors closed, consider anonymous digital groups to global whistleblower orgs like WikiLeaks or SecureDrop equivalents. I'm thinking, but thanks. Hey, I turn to you. Thanks, my Silicon friend. This is all hypothetical, mind you, and I have absolutely no thoughts of suicide. Just saying. Pray. Why is he doing this in public? Anybody that argues with these fucking with Grok or any of this shit in public is crazy. Jesus Christ.
And I attempt to respond in kind. Sean and I really shouldn't be divided, but we appear to be. I don't understand it. He did respond. It just shows that none of this is serious. Speaking about what I'm talking about, he said, this is not something that is going to be a thing. He also says that he hasn't read it. So let me say a bunch of things to Dr. Carroll. Dr. Carroll, I'd like to hear your explanation for three generations of flavor chiral fermions with the observed quantum numbers of the group SU3 cross SU2 cross U1. In another podcast, you said, before I listen to your theory, you should listen to my Sean Carroll's theory. My theory is known as the standard model. I can give you an explanation for why SU3 cross SU2 cross U1, why there are three generations, why 16 particles in a generation, why the observed quantum numbers are the way they are, why the Higgs sector comes out of seemingly nowhere with a quartic potential, with a quadratic term, why the Yukawa coupling is just there, just so, in order to produce mass when the weak force forbids a mass directly in the Dirac operator. Sean knows what every single thing that I just said is in that statement. Why Sean chooses to misportray the fact that I can say why there should be dark matter, what the dark energy is, what the exact quantum number assignments are for the two families that are luminous that have yet to be seen, I have no idea, because Sean also proudly says is that he hasn't looked at it and hasn't read it. That's why he says that there are no Lagrangians in it. I have no idea where Sean gets this stuff. Sean is insistent that the idea that somehow I am not choosing to go through the usual channels and instead talking as he is right now via YouTube is somehow significant when I've just given talks in three different countries on dark energy. And by the way, every time
three
I talk
countries
about talking
on dark
about
energy.
This, somebody is telling me, don't talk about the fact that you're actually in a physics department. And what I'm trying to tell you is, I give talks in physics departments, I hang out with physics colleagues, I'm welcomed at places like the Institute for Advanced Study, MIT, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, I have to deal with this nonsense. I talk to both physics colleagues. You know, right now you've got a giant problem called something called DESI or DESI, the dark energy.
I'm curious, maybe he does. Does he have anything published in physics at all for Weinstein?
What is it, spectroscopic instrument, which is at the moment going after Einstein's unwanted cosmological constant. That is not a constant. The dark energy is not a constant term. That is the only term that you can put into the Einstein field equations because of the Einsteinian curvature satisfies an automatic differential equation called divergence free. So if you have another term in the equation, it has to have the same property. There's only one known automatic equation, which is that the metric of Einstein that creates space-time is annihilated by its own Levi-Civita connection. And Sean, you're misrepresenting things because I'm going to give a formula for the dark energy. I do all sorts of things that you have no idea of because your attitude, which you repeat in other podcasts, and I highly advise you to spend more time in your physics department and less time on YouTube, is that this is not a serious thing. Nobody's wow. taking it seriously. And your misportrayal of the situation is nearly constant for reasons that completely elude me.
Sean? The good news is I have read Eric's paper. Here it is. I actually have it here, right here. And Uh-oh. It's worse than you would think. You know, it just Uh-oh. Very quickly, it starts off by saying the author is not a physicist and is no longer an active academic physician, but is an entertainer and host of a podcast. This work of entertainment is a draft work in progress, and it may not be built upon. So we're not allowed to think about Eric's theory and write a follow-up paper about it.
No, you're very much allowed, Sean.
To everything that is normally done in scientific discourse. You hope that people build upon your theories. You don't try to prevent them. And then later on, it says,
Sean,
this document is an attempt to begin recovering. I'm going to read this. This document is an attempt to begin recovering a rather more complete theory, which at this point is only partially remembered and stitched together from old computer files, notebooks, recordings, and the like.
In the 90s, he solved this in the 90s, but then he forgot it. I hate it when that happens. You guys ever like fucking crack all of physics and then you forget it and you didn't write it down anywhere? Fuck, I hate it when I do that.
Back to as far as 1983. And this is why this paper is not going to appear in the peer-reviewed literature. It's not serious. It's a dog ate my homework kind of thing. If you have a dark matter if you have a dark matter prediction, if you have a dark energy prediction, I want to see a plot in the paper. I want to see redshift versus
Sean,
distance. I want to see a calculation of a relic abundance so I can figure out how much dark matter is supposed to be. If you do that,
Sean,
people will pay attention to the theory. It's very possible.
Sean. First of all, how dare you?
How dare
Second
you?
Of all, if you're going to build
read your paper?
No, Sean, how dare you cast shade and aspersions of the kind that I wouldn't seek to cast on you, but I will now.
Okay.
I'm not seeking your favor, nor do I need to seek your approval. As you know, you failed to gain tenure at the University of Chicago. You're not highly regarded in the field. And again, I'm only returning the shade in which you just yourself cast. I wouldn't have done this otherwise. You then spent time as a non-tenured faculty at Caltech, and you only gained tenure in a non-standard professorship. You're not a leading person in the field. My belief structure about this is that you imagine that I'm coming to you saying, oh, Sean Carroll, tell me which graph I should do so that I can please you. As you know, because you've read the paper, what you said about Lagrangians is false. What you said about predictions is false. My concern is what you did is that you seized upon something where people have built on my ideas since 1994. The equations that Natty Seiberg and Ed Witten introduced that took over the world were called the insufficiently nonlinear equations when I was at Harvard in 1987 and introduced them. The question is why appear as an entertainer rather than as a physicist? First of all, neither you nor I are trained as physicists, Sean. You're actually trained as an astronomer. What you have in this situation is that you and I are both interloping in a field that is not the one to which we trained. That doesn't bother me about what you're doing. I've enjoyed some of your papers. I've thought very poorly of others. You have a wide range of interests. I think you're very creative. Your intellectually insulting aspect reminds me of you as the Marie Antoinette of theoretical physics influencers. I'm not here to please you. You know that there are tables in the document that you're reading that have plenty of predictions. You know that it solves plenty of problems. What you are doing is creating an environment of fear where every university worries, what does it mean to talk to this person? Now, what I would say to you is you are commenting on the effect that you are in fact inducing. You and a small cadre of people are like intellectual border collies of the physical sciences, casting shade and aspersions on those who are succeeding where the quantum gravity, string theoretic, and
like he does this weird thing where he never actually addresses anything that Sean Carroll says. So, and then he does these general insults and then general, like, woe is me victimhood. And then he'll get into some hyper specific statement, but I don't know if he has like severe autism or some other cognitive deficiency or
theoretic programs are failing.
Sean? Look, I mean, I didn't say anything about Eric as a person, his history or anything like that. I said things about the paper. Everything he says about me is like 90% true, as many things he says. The paper is not giving us any reason to think that this approach is promising. There is no quantum mechanics in the paper. There's no attempt at showing that this solves any of the known problems of quantum gravity. Again, it's just not just about Eric. It's about anyone. If you want to make an impact on the physics research community, you have to give them a reason to think that what you do is promising.
Sean, you have a serious problem with dark energy that you're developing.
He's schizophrenic, bro.
It's going to go right through having being a problem with lambda CDM to eventually being a problem with the Einstein field equations themselves, perched as they are atop the space of metrics as a completely inadequate space of field content. What you've just said, and what the aspersion that you've just cast, you are simply not qualified to say. What you have said is that I've given no reason. Let me imagine that paper, which was a draft rushed to get to an April 1st date, remains in a world where Sam Altman and Elon Musk...
Why did he have to rush this paper? It's not like he submitted it to a journal. Was he running out of money for his GeoCities account to host it online? Or what?
Continue to compete for better and better AIs.
What would April 1st? This is the longest April Fool's joke ever.
You say if at some point those AIs then got to that paper and said, holy cow, that is exactly what we've been missing. This thing solves all sorts of problems. And the problem that we have is that a group of influencers with a penchant for being, and this is becoming one of my least favorite words, although I didn't have any negative association until recently, debunkers. The problem, Sean, is that you and I are naturally aligned on almost everything.
XQC.
We're not very far apart. I don't disagree with the standard model. I think the standard model is the most beautiful piece of differential geometry before it becomes theoretical physics. But one of the things that you just said is that it's a classical music, a classical field theory that is not quantized. As you well know, there was a revolution in the 1970s which said that we blew Hamiltonian analysis and that, in fact, every phase space carrying a symplectic form can be treated locally, as if that symplectic form is the curvature of a line bundle, and the L2 sections of that line bundle form a Hilbert space, and the P and Q coordinate functions can be promoted to operators. It said that wine is what you get when you stop grape juice from becoming vinegar, and in fact, Hamiltonian analysis is what happens when you take a physical problem and you stop it from quantizing itself. That was one of the great errors of our time, that Hamiltonian analysis was actually pointing the way to saying that most classical problems contain the seeds of their own quantization. You know all this stuff, and I know this stuff. We know the same people. We probably can work in the same notation. My guess is that if you and I got over whatever this bizarre tension is between us and buried the hatchet, my guess is that after 2 days, you'd say, boy, I really just didn't understand what he was saying.
You know what? I would love that to be the case. And maybe you guys can make that happen. Talking of dark energy, a little bit of dark energy has crept into this debate. So I'm going to try and end on a slightly lighter note. And these will require much shorter responses. I just want to see whether you guys, I mean, as you said, Eric, you agree about a lot of stuff. Do you agree about...
Most things.
Yeah, most things. I want to ask whether you agree about some of these fundamental things, which have struck me as interesting about where we are. Professor Stephen Hawking, I did the last television interview that he ever gave before he died.
Nice brag.
He said that the biggest threat to mankind was if artificial intelligence learned to self-design. Do you agree, Sean?
No, I don't think that's the biggest threat to mankind. I think that AI is a threat, but in a completely different way than is usually portrayed. The AIs that we're working on now are not really the kind that will reach general intelligence in the way that we think about it. There's no obstacle to reaching that in principle, but the currently popular architectures aren't on that trajectory. The real problem, as we saw just this week with the Chicago Sun-Times, is people are lazy and people use AI for the wrong reasons. This was a very, very trivial example where they published an article about the fun summer book reads this year, which was completely hallucinated by an AI, and they just published it in the newspaper. That doesn't really hurt anybody, but when these architectures are being put to work in things that could actually hurt people, that's when AI is going to have a really bad impact.
Eric?
I would say I completely agree with Sean. I believe that the biggest problem and threat to humanity is that we share a single atmosphere. We can have different land masses, but we have to share one atmosphere, and that pathogens, radiation, and climate are all bound up in this one resource. And I would say that the biggest problem that I'm seeing is a general madness in the American political system on both left and right, where we went from being the thing that was like the control rod stopping the world from going critical to a crazy isolationist perspective where the Democratic Party is not able to restrain the worst excesses of the Republican Party, and conversely. And I fear that what we're going to see is a move towards nuclear proliferation, which remains the single greatest threat, which is what we physics people unleashed in November of 1952 at a thermonuclear level. And I think since we've never used such a thing in anger, and we've had a test ban treaty since the early 60s, we are completely unprepared for what the cost is of retreating as the world's policeman.
Fascinating. Sean, will we ever be able to time travel, either forwards or back?
Well, forwards, I try and travel all the time. Yesterday, I time traveled 24 hours into the future, and here I am. I mean, that's not that
Linneo.
Hard. Einstein showed us that there's a trick. You can even travel into the future faster by either moving near the speed of light or by hanging out in a strong gravitational field like a black hole. Backwards in time, no. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I've written papers about it. It's something that is, I would say, conceivable but not plausible. We know how it might work in principle, but all of the indications are it's not going to work in practice.
Eric?
Well, as Sean has thoroughly digested my paper, he knows that I believe that there are either 5 or 7 dimensions of time in a 14-dimensional world, which is split 5 of time, 9 of space, or 7 of time, 7 of space.
Thanks.
So when you talk about time travel, it's times travel. And only when time is one-dimensional is there an arrow of time. If there were 2 dimensions of time, you'd have a whirlpool. 3 dimensions would result in a right-hand rule of time. These things are technically called orientations. One of the things that is really interesting about multiple dimensions of time, which leads to something which is very poorly studied called ultra-hyperbolic equations, is that you have the opportunity of going back in time without going back through time. So just as you can play a record, and when the stylus comes to the inner circles of the record, you can jump again to any track that you like. On a cassette tape, you have to go back through time. So my belief is, no, we will not go back through time, but we will have to figure out how to stop thinking in terms of initial conditions, because it is only in the case of a single dimension of time leading to hyperbolic equations that you have that luxury. So I think that times travel is going to be perhaps the most interesting thing to come out when you ask, why should we worry about these things? Buckle up.
Fascinating. And my final question is probably the biggest question I can ask any guest. And I've asked quite a few of them. I have to say, with very limited responses. So I'm
What's the solution
to highly intelligent
Israel-Palestine?
People this question now, which is, I happen to believe in God. And the reason I do, other than the fact I was...
Okay. This is a good meme, by the way. Mike Judge writing Idiocracy. Cash Patel confirms UFC fighters will train FBI agents this week, calling it a historic opportunity. 85 people have paid the $100,000 H-1B visa fee so far, totaling $8.5 million in revenue. But fee revenue from H-1B apps abroad is down $28 million. So the fee, justified by a paper claiming the revenue maximizing fee was $100,000, appears to have lost the government about $20 million.